This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I may have to give a little more consideration to my vote for president for Evan.
Oh, are we prepared to maybe amend this?
No, or I just want to give it a little more thought. Brian Rascona, who of course works here at the Fan, he texted me and he brought this to my attention. I should have known better. He said the guy doesn't even know how to buy pizza the right way, but we'll vote for him as president. So,
well, there you go.
I do have to take that into consideration.
There's not a lot of common sense with that.
I was thinking, well, maybe he could hire me as like the secretary, and then I'll take care of the food order.
The Secretary of Defense?
Whatever. Secretary of Food Orders or something. How does it go? It goes president, vice president.
So many.
And
you
hire me
it.
In his cabinet. I'll help him along in the street manners. What he needs to, like, you know what I'm saying? But yes, okay. So anyway.
So you're going to stick with Evan is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
By the way, I got the answer from Dove. I don't know that Dove would want me to reveal this because I asked him.
What, who we vote for?
If it was a Francesa Russo ticket, which way would he go?
Can I comment on Evan too?
Yes.
Go for it.
See, Evan's kind of guy who may not know a lot about certain things.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he knows enough to know what he doesn't really know and to find people he can trust to give him the right advice.
Correct, which is why I want to be part of his cabinet. Now, also, Tiki, I trust as vice president as well. I mean, I guess
now,
you could
why,
go
though?
Tiki president.
That's a blind trust for Tiki. Can we?
I'm not
saying that it's not that it's without merit, but that was a very quick stamping of Tiki. Why?
Because I think Tiki is very well-rounded in his education.
Okay.
I think that Tiki is a very kind...
He's got the same amount of degrees as I do. Keep
I think
going.
He's a very kind human being.
So am I.
Well, he went to Virginia.
So what?
Well, he went to Marist.
And?
Is that the same? I don't know. I'm just...
That's not the same. Keep going.
I didn't think so.
Keep going.
Could you name the He-Man's cat, the original cat? Do you know the name of He-Man's cat?
I don't. I'm trying to remember Gargamel's little cat that he had with the Smurfs, which I'm not even remembering right now either. But does that play into my ability to be a vice
Jeopardy,
president or a president?
Tiki knew that answer in
so
Jeopardy.
What?
Well, I like that. Cringer was the name of He-Man's cat.
I don't remember that.
To Battle Cat. Anyway, no, I just there's something about Tiki that warms me up.
Because he looks presidential.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that he is.
But I like that combination of Evan and Tiki. Something about Evan I trust, whereas other personalities here, I feel like could, you know, be a little strong in certain
you
regards.
You need strength to be president. Yeah, that's good quality.
I think Evan has strength.
Does he?
And the smarts. I think it's a nice
balance
there.
I think he's smart.
And if he hires me as part of his cabinet,
we're doomed.
Now
we're all leaving the country.
Bring some reality back to the situation. All right, BT and Sal, all the Fan, 888-808-1019. And notice during the break, by the way, two things. Did you check your phone? Because I did send you a text message.
I got it. You talking about the picture of Patino?
Yeah.
I got it.
What's he wearing in the
pic? What I might have to do here is, you don't see it.
The pic of him in a Yankee jersey and a Met jersey.
Side by side, you're having a little fun. What I'm going to do here
is... Well, I just wanted to send you the picture that I saw.
I appreciate that. Maybe I'll just have to take this picture, send it to Coach Patino, and say, Sal is questioning the roots of your fandom.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get cut out for hoping that they would lose in the tournament, that will cut you out officially moving forward.
So. .. Do you have any extra tickets so he could come along? I noticed during the break you switched the TV to Prime.
Yes, I found out what channel Prime is on. Number 52, Yankees are up in studio at 106.
So, Hoff, where are we getting the Mets game on?
I'm trying to figure out that picture-in-picture.
That's not happening. I mean, where are we getting a basket? We can't have, I mean, I'm sure this is going to be, we talk about Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. What are they going to do?
Tiki's in Morocco, maybe doing
Marash
some
here?
Advanced research for his presidency.
Now I'm going to answer your other question. Who's the last person I would vote for president?
Yeah.
Maresh. That would be the
last. Is that really the last guy?
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
I wasn't thinking of him before. Sorry, I forgot. I love Maresh, but just not for president. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do. I don't know if he would be last for me, though.
I think that
there's actually a sense of, I don't know. I think there's a sense, maybe you actually.
Oh, come on.
I think that there's a sensibility with Sean that doesn't always come out on the air. I think he's a little smarter than some people think.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd absolutely make it my choice, but
I think that Maresh would get the first ticket for like the chef or like the, you know, the kitchen area, but not for president.
Now, who's Secret Service? Maybe Hoff. Maybe that's Hoff's department. The big burly protection. For whomever is the president here at WFAN.
I feel like I'd be the sleeper here. I'd be the realest one out of everybody. Yeah, everybody's got their agendas and their political
things. Agendas.
My
agenda is to make life easier on the American public. That's my agenda.
I'm coming
That's
in hot point. And I'm coming in real. Huh. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't even want the job, so I'm not putting myself in it. I want nothing to do with it. I want to leave me alone.
You pay no attention to politics. How can you even talk about running
Trump
for president?
Was running again. Well, because he's going to be our president?
It should be common sense. I mean, let's not get too far into it.
The learning curve is very high. You've not paid attention to anything.
Dove, who do you think would make a better president, me or Sal?
No, you would, because you pay attention to this stuff.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's got already a bias by paying attention to it. I come in and clean everything up.
We work with BT every day.
Yeah.
We know what a good guy he is. He genuinely cares about not only his family, but the country.
Yeah. Right.
I want somebody who cares about the country as our president.
And children. And yes, I believe it's very well known that that is
me. And I don't? I mean, if that's the qualification.
You said that you would want to win an Emmy before your daughter.
So what? I'm being honest. How about that?
Well,
a politician was being honest.
That's the selling
Everybody
point.
Else is full of crap. You're getting honesty with me. This guy's not going to see ya. You're not going to see ya. You're out. Clean this mess up.
You got the job. The first honest president in the history of presidents here. Here you go.
Honesty.
Yeah, that's true.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Huff, get on that TV. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Matt is calling from Westchester. What's up, Matt?
Matty.
How we doing, guys?
Good. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
So I have a question for BT. Are you a big believer in playoff experience playing into like your chances to win a series? Because hearing you talk about Detroit, like I know they have Cade, but none of them have any playoff experience. I know they got a couple veterans. Yeah. Like Detroit doesn't scare me. Like I think we can beat one player.
I'm not afraid of Detroit. I just think that they – and by the way, it's not just Cade Cunningham. Jaden Ivey is a bit of a handful. They got some issues there. I think it depends. I think experience mattered a lot more back in the day. Like when you had to get through those Celtics in the mid-80s or try to, or the Lakers of the mid-80s or the Bad Boys or the Knicks with Riley or those Bulls teams, obviously. Teams that have been battle-tested. I think it's a little bit more important, but I think the game has changed so much. Player movement, younger kids are more emboldened to make their mark on the league. It's less of a wait for the passing of the torch. So I guess my answer is not nearly as much as I used to.
Ivy's out for the year, by the way.
Not Ivy. Cunningham.
Yeah, but I'm talking like outside of Cunningham. They got a lot of veteran guys that, you know, Tobias Harris doesn't scare me in the playoffs.
Look at their rebounding numbers. I'm not worried about Tobias Harris. I've never been worried about Tobias Harris, even when he was on the Sixers and the Knicks were playing him all the time. No. I think that experience matters. But then again, Sal, what experience did the Knicks have last year going into the playoffs with that crew together? Now, you had Jalen Brunson with some playoff experience with Dallas when Luka went down.
The year before beating the Cavs in the first round and then losing to Miami.
No, I know, but Randall didn't play in the playoffs last year, so there's no influence there. You had Barrett. You had Quickley. You had a very different group of players together.
The first year with Brunson in the postseason, I think that it was the, okay, let's see what this team could do in the postseason and try to cut their teeth in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was the more, okay, well, now that they got that first round win out of the way, well, to Miami, let's see what they could do. They had a great series against Philadelphia, which was really symbolic of a second round series or even a conference finals, the way that series went, with two really good teams that the Knicks came out on top. They were hurt in the Pacers series, which for me is the reason why they didn't get past them into the Eastern Conference Finals. So this group does have experience where I would look at the Cavs as still needing to prove themselves. I look at the Pistons as a big-time question mark. They can be dangerous, have a good player. I just... if I'm worried about, at this point, where the Knicks are at and where they've been since Tibbs has been here building this thing up, especially since Brunson and all the stars that they have, if I'm worried about the Pistons, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yes, respect, but worry about Detroit? I'm not worried at all about the Pistons.
No.
Bucks may be a different story.
Who's that now? The Bucks?
Bucks may be a different story.
Experience,
yeah.
And, yeah.
I still think that it may be a better matchup. It just feels at this point where the Pistons could be a little dangerous. But based on the experience with the Bucks, I think they could be probably more dangerous. Matchup, maybe you feel like the Pistons are more. I'm not worried about either of them. Knicks are beating both those.
Yeah,
teams.
And I don't use the word worry. I just use the word aware. I mean, every basketball fan's aware of the Bucks. I think the average fan is less aware of the Pistons. I think the diehard fan is. I don't know. Maybe I'm overstating Detroit, and this is not a fear thing. This is just a recognition that they got here a lot earlier than we thought. And just because you get somewhere earlier doesn't mean that you got to go home early. Sometimes you pop through early. And you stick around for a while. All I'm saying is, for a team that's going to win 50-something games, I don't think the Knicks are like -370 to advance past the Pistons if it's them. I think even the odds makers will show more respect to the Pistons.
Yeah, interesting. I think the Knicks will be big favorites, but I'd be curious to see what that is. All right, Joey's in Westchester. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
I just want to talk a little bit about the Knicks. You know, I think I agree with BT on this. I don't see them getting past Boston or Cleveland. I mean, if you look at, you know, the talent, like you guys were saying, over the last few years, like, they are more talented, but I do think last year's team was maybe better. They gelled better, at least. And I know they've been injured this year, but I think they might have missed the boat the last couple of years. They might have arrived early if they would have beat the Heat a couple of years ago in the second round. And then last year, obviously, injuries kind of hurt them from beating Indiana. But I don't see them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's saying anything special there, Joey, and thank you for the call. Of course, a lot of people say, oh, they can't beat the Celtics. The Knicks are the fourth best team in the NBA. They were not that last year or the year before. So I still don't understand, while you could say that they gelled well together, they played tough together, there was a ceiling with that group. They were never going to get to an NBA Finals. Even if healthy, it was going to be a tough task against the Celtics. And by the way, even not being healthy, they couldn't get past the Pacers. So I'm not sure where the overrating. I'm not saying you have to like this team better. You could have a more emotional connection to last year's team, liking Hartenstein and DiVincenzo for whatever reason. The talent level that the Knicks now possess is far better than what they've had the last couple of years. Will it result in going further? I have no idea. We'll find out. I think there's a clear roadblock that's there that wasn't there a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics are their possible opponent in the second round. The Celtics should be a one seed. So that's the difference from a year ago to this year. That's the only reason why. If it were the Pacers in the second round like it was last year, I mean, I think we'd all be saying the Knicks are going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Then it's going to be a roll of the dice taking on the Celtics.
I would agree with that to an extent, for sure. I do think, you know, the opponent's laying in the weeds here changes the ceiling for me. And by the way, the Cavaliers have the best record in the Eastern Conference, yeah. But the Celtics have significantly better odds to get to the NBA championship. Listen, let me put it this way. I think, to me, I'm going to deal in reality and I'm going to deal in hypothetics for a moment. Like, if you told me 2 years ago, 5 years ago, the height of the Knicks' misery, 10 years ago, whatever it was, slightly before that, you sit me down and say, okay, you're a big Knicks fan. You're desperate. You're dying to get to a championship. Here's what we're going to bestow upon you in the mid-2020s. You're going to have a point guard who's in his 20s, who is one of the most clutch shot makers in the NBA, and an all-NBA player. You're going to have a defensive demon at center. You're going to have a multi-talented, faceted other center who is one of the best three or four, maybe even two bigs in the NBA. You're going to have two wings on each side, terrific 3-and-D guys, great three-point percentage from the corners. You're going to have a coach who may have won a championship earlier in his career if there wasn't one LeBron or two Derrick Roses needed and explode. Like, I could go on and on and on, and that would sound very appealing to me. I admit, I'd be like, yeah, sign me up, man. And not just out of desperation, but because the things that I heard that I just said would in my mind equate to a legitimate championship team. That's the hypothetics. Now we get to the reality, and for me the reality doesn't match the hypothetical situation that I just laid out, because I don't think the Knicks were a championship team. So Why is that the case? Well, part of it's the Celtics, part of it's the Cavaliers,
well, why
part
do you
of
think
it's the Thunder.
Why are we so sold on the Cavs? What have they accomplished in the postseason?
Well, nothing. They have not accomplished anything. No, I get that.
So there's got to be some kind of wait and see. Yeah, they've had a terrific, dominant regular season. We don't know how they're going to be in the postseason. We don't know if they've got another level to go up against the other teams when they raise their level. We're going to find out. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But they're no proven commodity. When was the last time the Thunder won anything? I mean, so, and I'm not saying that the Knicks would beat the Thunder or the Cavs, but really, to me, the problem is the Celtics. They are the champion. They have the pedigree. They have the no doubt about it superstar, and they are the roadblock in the second round because of circumstance in the regular season. That's the bigger issue. But why are we now? Why are we giving the Cavs and Thunder bouquets based on the regular season?
Well, only because the regular season, when they've gone to head to head with the Knicks, yeah, has been so uneven. That's the direct answer. Like, we've watched them on the same court. We can talk about circumstances. Yeah. Knicks not healthy. I got you. But also, when the Knicks were playing the Cavaliers early in the year, they didn't have yet DeAndre Hunter, who they got in a trade, mm-hmm. who is a terrific defender, who fits in very well, who's got the kind of profile who's going to be a problem in the playoffs. You remember DeAndre Hunter from Virginia?
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously the NBA and the Hawks. He's good, and he fits that team perfectly. So I think there's probably a couple of different answers, but the first answer is the optics of what these two teams look like when they played, or three or four teams, if you include the Celtics and the Thunder. That's my answer.
Right, and my pushback to that would be, yeah, but the Knicks weren't whole. And you could say, well, nobody's whole. Okay, fair enough, but I'm looking at this Knicks team. They need Mitchell Robinson to be healthy and be that defensive, impactful player. They need, obviously, Brunson to be healthy here. And, you know, the gelling part, I don't know if that takes a year, a year and a half. I don't know if it takes a full season. And now maybe they'll gel better in the regular season. But we have not at all until now seen this Knicks team whole all year long. Without them being whole, they have no chance. The Celtics without Jalen Brown, mm-hmm. they still have a chance. They're that good. Tatum is that good. The Knicks can't afford that luxury. They didn't have that luxury a year ago. They don't have that now. They need to win a championship. They need everything to go well. And I like that everybody's healthy right now for the first time all year, as there's only three games to go before the postseason.
Okay, let's say Mitchell Robinson, and you remember Bill Cartwright back in the day as a Knick, a lot of foot issues, missed a lot of time. I think Bill was like the third pick back in the late 70s, was supposed to be a superstar, never quite that guy, whatever, traded from the Knicks and the Bulls. If you know the name, you know the name, and I know you do.
Yeah.
But and he had a lot of injury history. That's why I bring him up. And I get to Mitchell Robinson. So Mitchell Robinson, let's just say he had a Cartwright season and was out. Like, there was no, he had another foot surgery and he was done for the year. There's no chance he comes back this year. Would you still be as bullish on the Knicks' ability to get to and or win a championship without Mitchell Robinson for a second?
If he did not come back?
Yeah, if he was not here.
No.
Okay. I figured you'd say that. I agree. I think the odds increase. But think about the level of fragility with the Knicks.
I get it, but still.
We are saying that a guy who is always hurt just because he's here.
But he's an impact difference maker defensively, which is their biggest weakness. So it's not like if Deuce McBride went down, it would suck, but it wouldn't impact my championship level.
It might for me
one way
because
or another.
Then I don't like their bench
enough. Fair enough. But I think that you could, I think that you could find somebody to at least do something similar to what McBride can bring. It would stink, of course, but I think Mitchell Robinson, I think he's been an overlooked important piece on this. You and I have had this disagreement going back to last year. Well, I value Mitchell Robinson more than I did Hartenstein just because of what he brings for me is more valuable. That rebounder, that rim protector, that defender, that his impact defensively. You've seen it since he's been back.
There's no doubt. I wish he was playing some more minutes. And the other thing, though, I have a tough time stamping a guy that important who, if he's on the court in the final 3 minutes, is a problem for the Knicks. Can't shoot.
Right, but they have four other, neither could Hartenstein.
But Hartenstein's going to make layups and make some foul shots. Yeah. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, they're going to deploy the hack of Mitch.
I get it.
He's going to shoot 46% for the free throw line.
Understood.
You can't have him on the court.
I mean, if he could hit free throws, he'd be Shaquille O'Neal.
If the Queen had whatever, she'd be the King. I get it.
There were two things at the world's most famous arena that bothered me. Number one was Carmelo Anthony. Did you see this, BT?
I did.
Okay. Melo acting like he is like mega super, he acts like he's Michael freaking Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He stands up like, oh, all right. Yeah, all right. I know you love me. Like, he's trying to be humble, but he's not. He wants to be seen. He wants to be acknowledged. He's pretending like, oh, no, no. And then it's standing up. I just don't understand the love affair with the Knicks fans and Carmelo Anthony. I think Melo is a terrific player, all-time great scorer, Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. Fine, don't care. He is not a great Knick, and he is not worthy of the ovations that the fans continue to give him.
They shower him with affection. There is a definite delineation in age. Younger fans love Melo. Older fans think what you think. And what I think, by the way, because I think what you
okay,
think.
Okay, now, and why do we think what we think?
Because he didn't win.
Okay, it sounds like we're picking on Carmelo.
No.
Poor Melo. These two radio guys are just ripping on him. No, that's not it. He was a selfish player with the Knicks that never took accountability. He was a lazy player that didn't play hard on both ends of the floor.
Yep.
And his teams never won. And he always thought it was everybody else but him. Yep. The head coaches, Jeremy Lin, Amari Stoudemire. Those are, I just gave you all legitimate reasons why he should not, he shouldn't even be liked, let alone beloved to the degree that he is.
Now, here's where he benefits, though. It was so dark this century, and there's something to be said for having a period that is like a prolonged period that is down.
Yeah.
And, you know, one shining light, so to speak. So if you're, you know, 8 years old when Carmelo first gets here, and then you're 8, 9, 10, or 10 through 17, or 17 through 24, whatever it might be, that's kind of the window, like that amount of years, he's going to strike a place of reverence in your heart because you have nothing else to compare it to.
Does Marbury get that?
No, he does not.
Now, why? Because he was too close to the 90s team, meaning it wasn't that far removed?
Because Marbury never won 54 games.
Oh, all right, he did it once.
Never led the Knicks to the playoffs, like to that extent where, hey, listen, I'm with you on the Carmelo stuff.
Well, Marbury
Carmelo
was
a better Knick than Marbury.
Marbury was there but Marbury was also a great individual player.
But not for the Knicks.
Who was the Knicks guy.
Yeah, but they weren't good.
Didn't they make the postseason his year? No,
they played 1 year. Remember, that was with that the was whole team. Was that the Tim Thomas Fugazi thing with the Nets?
Yeah, they got swept by the Nets, right? Yeah, that was Marbury led team.
Yeah, you talk about Marbury and Jamal Crawford and Quentin Richardson and those guys.
I think the difference is that that was too close to the 90s Knicks, so it wasn't even taken seriously. And if Melo did his thing at that same time, it also would have been the same. The argument for Melo that you just made is because it was so long that the Knicks had that type of player and had some success that he was overrated. I think what Stoudemire did to the Knicks was more important than what Carmelo Anthony did.
I'm a bigger Amari fan than Carmelo Anthony fan. Amari wanted to be here, and I think Carmelo wanted to be here as well.
Yeah, for different reasons.
That's the thing. If he would have waited, and this is, you know, again, this is ancient history, but if he would have waited, the Knicks would have had to rip up their roster. Now, granted, in real time, Timofey Mozgov, I was like, oh, we're giving him up. I think he could be good. And he wound up being nothing here. So,
no, but still, remember, Stoudemire was the first to come.
He was, and he even said, the New York Knicks are back. That was his quote when he walked into the Garden. We're back, is what he said.
He wasn't...
And he was great his first year.
Right, but he wasn't the player that Melo is, so we're not saying that.
I think his first year was better than any Melo season because he was a rebounder as well.
Interesting.
Amari's first season was tremendous.
I'm not knocking his season. What I'm saying is I think Melo just pound for pound straight up just a better player. But to your point, what Stoudemire did in his first year, and the Knicks were building a team back up.
Yeah.
Raymond Felton, Wilson Chandler, whatever. Not Danilo Gallinari. Not a great team, but they were building back up a respectable team that played hard night in, night out.
I agree.
Then Melo came and ruined it all with his selfish play. Now, talent, yes, far and above. Like, you take that talent any day of the week. They never gelled together, Stoudemire and Melo. Melo didn't like when Lin got all the spotlight because he's thinking, this guy's a fraction of the player that I am, but yet he's beloved by the fans. What am I doing wrong? He just the lack of effort, the lack of accountability, the lack of self-awareness, all of the above. And he still lacks that self-awareness because he's out there taking bows as if he's Michael freaking Jordan, as if he made Madison Square Garden. And to me, I could rank 15 at least Knicks that I would value since 1990 to now more than Carmelo Anthony.
I don't know if I'd get to 15. I don't want to get nuts here. I get your point. I don't know if my list would be 15, but it would be a lot more than many others too. I mean, it's about winning, right? And Carmelo comes here, and obviously, you know, they hit the 54 wins in 2012, 2013. That's when they lost in six to Indiana. That's when he got blocked at the rim by Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, Hibbert chewed Tyson Chandler up and spit him out.
Tyson did not play well, but he legitimately blocked. That was a massive part of the game. If they win that, the Knicks might win the series. And it actually just went backwards from there. But, you know, you're looking at a 17-win season. You're looking at a 31-51 season. You're looking at a 32-50 season. Just lost a lot. And I'll tell you, you mentioned the stuff with Lynn and not being in great shape and shot selection and an aversion to defense and being a chucker and all those things apply. You know what bothered me the most about Carmelo?
The All-Star game thing?
Yep. When you played in, because you wanted to be out there with LeBron and Wade and Chris Paul, your boys who you thought you were comparable to, which history tells us you were not as a champion, and as, no, Paul's not a champion, but as a champion and as an all-around player, I think that he, and I understand why he put himself there, but to have that trump the season, for those of you who may have forgotten the details, he played in the All-Star, he had a bad knee, played in the All-Star game just to feel the adulation. Oh, the Knicks, the hometown hero, Carmelo Anthony, you know, representing the Knicks. Take his bows, come out, 2 days later, shuts it down, skips out on the rest of the season. So what he told us, without saying it, was that the All-Star game and the glamour was more important than doing your actual job. And I never forgot that.
And those are all the reasons why I don't think he deserves those cheers. It infuriates me.
It bothers me too.
Ewing, Starks, Oakley, those guys. Kurt Thomas
is a grinder, no doubt.
Good God. One more thing about last
night. Charlie Ward.
100%. Chris Childs. Those guys gave everything they had every single night. One more thing about last night. Okay. And I've had enough of this. It's now been going on for over 30 years. I can't.
30 years.
I can't take it. And I'm not trying to make, you know, us picking on Spike Lee. I can't stand watching these big games with seeing Spike Lee stand up in his either jersey or last night it seemed like some custom Jalen Brunson jacket that he's wearing. Look, he pays a lot of money for those tickets. He's a big Knicks fan. I get it. I've seen enough. It's been over 30 years. Every big Knick game for the last 30-plus years, I've got to see Spike Lee standing up, acting as if he is some coach or player on this team. He is not. Sit his ass down. He's out there coaching and pointing and telling the ref this and that.
He's calling out screens there, Sal.
Yelling at all the players. Like, it's been going on far too long. He got burned over 30 years ago by Reggie, and he just continues to throw himself.
Got burned by LeBron, too. That's what he called me at night. Like, he was, I think it was when LeBron had 60, and I'm doing my show at the old station years ago. I'm working at night, I think like 7 to 10, so whatever. I go in after a Knick game, and I'm kind of having fun. But I'm serious. I'm like, you know, Spike was woofing at LeBron, and, you know, LeBron went off, and that's why Spike called in. And my producer was like, this guy says it's Spike. And he said, put him on. We'll flush through it on the air. I got no problem with Spike, but I'll stand by what I said. And we went after it a little bit in a good way. I got no problem with Spike. It doesn't bother me with the Knicks as much as it bothers you. It bothered me with St. John's because I know.
Yeah, well, that's.
I know. He's a Georgetown guy. And if you're a Georgetown guy, you will never be a St. John's guy. And if you're a St. John's guy, you can never be a Georgetown guy.
My issue, I'm not debating his fandom in this particular case. It's that, why are you standing up if you're sitting courtside? There's nobody in front of you. You don't have to stand up. And he stands up to be seen. And there he is. If I can see him, it's a problem. If you want to say, there's somebody sitting there famous. You see the back of their head. Okay. We see him all the time, front and center.
Yeah, it's getting old.
I can't take it anymore. It's getting old. Over 30 years.
It's getting old. Again, it doesn't strike the nerve that it does with you with the Knicks, but it is definitely getting old.
Like, good God.
I mean, some people love it. I got to be honest with you. I think most people probably feel more the way you do, and to an extent, by extension, the way I do, than the other way. Like, oh, there's Spike, the best Knick fan. I think most of us are like, dude, I mean, you got more talent. Now, I will say this, and I read his book years ago. When he first got his first real lump of money, he went and he bought season tickets.
And like, he's had them ever since.
He is a Knick guy.
100%.
I never dispute that. But like, this thought that Spike represents the Knick fan and he's the bastion for Knick. No, I don't look at him that way. I look at him as a guy who loves the Knicks, who's got a lot more money than us with great seats, who makes himself out to be a spectacle.
And God bless him. He can do whatever he wants. All I ask is just sit down during the game, please. If you're sitting courtside, sit down because you're getting in the
Imagine
way.
Imagine sitting behind him and paying three grand a seat. Now, he's not that tall. Yeah. The obstructed view.
He's not a coach. I mean, I remember at the St. John's game that we were fortunate to sit courtside, right? You hooked it up.
When you and Hoff went?
There were security guards telling some people who were getting a little too close on the court to, hey, you know, back off a little bit, just sit in your seat. And that's what Spike is doing during the, as they're right, the security should be doing
that. Yeah, for sure.
Because you're sitting courtside, like you can't get up and make a spectacle. You're sitting in the 400, you can get up, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You're sitting courtside like that, you shouldn't be pointing and acting.
It's a
and
lot.
Jumping on.
Think about this, Hakeem Olajuwon couldn't even go and celebrate with the Cougars when they got to the championship, and he played for the Cougars, and Spike is out there calling screens and, you know, running out plays here from a seat. It's a little much.
Viv is in Weston, Connecticut. Want to talk about Mello. What's up, Viv?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, Viv.
Viv? Noah's calling from Bayonne. What's up, Noah?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I'm a big Mello guy. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a younger Knicks fan. I'm 26. But, you know, first ballot definitely deserved it. One of the greatest Olympians of all time for USA.
Mm-hmm.
But you said the last 30 years, Knicks haven't done nothing. We understand that.
Yep.
But how many guys have wanted to come to New York and be in that spotlight? He took a lot of slander when he left New York.
Stop.
And I think a lot of Knicks fans are resentful over it.
All right, let me ask you this, Noah, you're 27, and I even said this to Sal before, like, you're a product of what you grew up with. If you're, you know, if you have a bad team for a bunch of years, and Melo's going to be a guy. And, yeah, I got to let you go because it's getting a little loud here, so I'll just present it this way. And when I look at my favorite players of all time, there is one thing that is absolutely indisputable in terms of you must having for me to love you. You must be an absolute gamer. And my favorite players, you know, one is Mattingly, who went out there for 5 or 6 years with multiple herniated discs, who was 30% of the player that he was and still gave it his all. Number one, Patrick Ewing, you know, lumbering up and down the court with the sleeve around his Achilles and, you know, all the shattered wrist when it was the point we went up for the alley-oop against the Bucks, always playing his ass off. Wayne Krabet, who had, these are my favorites, who had no business being, no disrespect, Wayne, if you're listening, no business being on an NFL field, went to Hofstra and actually made VHS tapes to send to other teams. The only reason the Jets said, yeah, come out, kid, we'll let you work out, is because they practiced at Hofstra. And now he's not a Hall of Famer, but he and Keyshawn were really, really good. That, to me, is non-negotiable. If you don't grind and you don't fight and you don't play hard, I can like you in certain, I can't love you. And I was going to ask him this, but I had to hang up. I would have asked him, do you believe Carmelo always went balls out? Do you believe he was locked in? We all know the answer. Fought through screens and set screens and just busted hump up and down the court, you know, for the 37, 38 minutes. No, the answer is no. He would set up in a spot offensively. He was a magician. He would drop 40 on you. Great score. Not a great engaged player. And I will never forget that because I look for that stuff.
100% accurate. But yet he is loved by the younger. Because they didn't see what happened in the 90s. And I'm not trying to be old man yelling at the clouds like, oh, you got to live through the 90s. It wasn't about talent. Melo was talented as anybody on those 90s Knicks teams.
I think he was more talented. You can make that case, actually.
Correct. He didn't give a fraction of the effort that those guys did. Unacceptable. James is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, James?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, you're forgetting one thing about Melo, and I agree with what you went over on your rants there about Melo and about Spike almost to the T, but I'm going to tell you why the Knicks are going to retire his number, and it's because he was a top 75 NBA player, and they hold that list. They love it. The fans love it, and he's a scorer.
Yeah. Yeah, and listen, I mean, as the older legends, you know, some of them are no longer with us, unfortunately, like the Buescher, but, you know, and some others, but Clyde's still here. Eventually, you know, things change.
Bill Bradley was there last night.
I saw him. Yeah, Bill was there for sure. You know, I mean, Phil Jackson is still alive. He doesn't show his face much at the Garden, but there's not many there, you know. Eventually.
Unfortunately, he made his presence felt last night with Porzingis going nuts.
Yeah, he did. He did. I still thought Porzingis was going to be a beast when they got him.
I hated the trade when they traded him, man. I hated it.
I lost my mind. I was in the middle of a Super Bowl. Me and Teak were, I forget which city we were in. I got news on the set. I was on TV, CBS Sports Network, the national stuff. I just lost it. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Whatever. I loved him. I thought he was going to be the real deal. But the bottom line is, as these legends start to age out, I mean, somebody's got to take the baton. And when you haven't won a championship since 1973, you know, outside of Ewing, there's going to be guys who take the baton who didn't win championships. Whether we like it or not, it is what it is.
It will bother me to my core. And people say, well, why do you care that much? Okay, well, in the real life aspect, I don't really care if they retire Melo's number or not. But from the sports perspective, It offends me to a level, BT, that I'm not even sure I'm capable of describing properly on the air.
I think we did this segment. I think we did properly describe it.
But you know what's
going to happen? I think we did.
You know what's going to happen? It is going to happen. He is going to have his, especially now that he's officially a basketball Hall of Famer. And by the way, I think he should be a Hall of Famer.
Agreed.
There's a difference between being a Hall of Famer, a basketball Hall of Famer, and having your number retired by the Knicks. I could list multiple guys. I admit a bias, but there is a reason why I would list multiple guys that deserve to have their number raised to the rafters more so than Carmelo Anthony.
So you would go, all right, let me ask you this. I know we got to break here.
And that's like an extreme with the number retired, but over Melo?
Well, hold on.
Or I could just rank better Knicks than Carmelo Anthony.
Well, okay, so Bernard King is that must happen.
He's before my time, but...
Oh, yeah, just take your partner's word for it. It's Bernard, period. Next, number 30. All right, so then you got to get to... I wouldn't do this, but I wouldn't have a massive issue like if you did a Starks Oakley. I don't think that they should, but if you wanted to do that, provided Bernard King was taken care of, and then you get to Carmelo, fine. If it's just Carmelo and there's no Bernard and some of those other guys from the 90s team, we got a massive problem.
Now, I also would not retire John Starks' number, but... There's no question to me that John Starks was a far better Knick with a fraction of the talent than Carmelo Anthony. Far better Knick. Larry Johnson, Mace, Spree, Kurt Thomas, Childs. And look, Brunson, to me, if I had to rank the best Knicks I've ever seen in my life, it is Ewing and Brunson in that order. I'm not going to put Brunson past Ewing until he at least gets the Knicks to a finals. I think Carl Anthony Towns could be up there. He's got, we got to see what he, you got to play a postseason game or series first. Like, but he's in that area where I wouldn't even put Melo there, even with his mild postseason success. I'd put Carl Anthony, I think Towns is better than he is. I think he's tougher.
You'd put Melo five? See, you didn't King, so that's where you and I differ.
So wait, it's a hard, what am I going off of? What kind of list is it? My favorites? Guys that
How about
I respect?
Impactful?
Yeah, I think Carmelo Anthony would be down the list. I would put Starks and Oakley in front of him. See, I would put Sprewell in front of him.
I think Towns has a real chance to be more impactful for sure than Carmelo. I don't know if I'm putting Spree there. I love those teams.
He took him to a finals.
I know, but so did Allen Houston. So did Marcus
Camby. I would probably put Allen Houston in front of him, too.
So did Larry Johnson.
I'd put Houston and Johnson in front of him, too. Yeah. I mean, I honestly would.
I love those teams, man. I miss those teams. I wish this team felt... This team's more talented than those teams. I wish they felt the same.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's see what happens in the postseason.
I got you.
Call of the day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Alex in East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Can I make 2 points about Tibbs before Sal cuts me off and yells at me when I'm off the phone?
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. First of all, you spent your first minute today at 10 o'clock discussing all the different configurations of who you would have had on the floor to give us a better chance at towards the end of the game when it counted, other than what the Knicks had on the floor. Who does that go to? That goes to the coach, okay? I just want to make another point about Tibbs. You're tiptoeing around on him. He'll have to write. What's driving me, another thing that drives me crazy this year is his phrase, his post-game phrase, the game tells you what to do. That's bunk. The best coaches use their strategy to dictate the game to the other team. He's a great assistant coach. He'll never win a title. The Knicks window is closing, as you said, for a couple of reasons. Some players are getting older, this and that, and they don't have their draft picks. He's not the coach. Stop tiptoeing around. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he's been consistent. And I'll be honest with
Alex,
you.
What you're saying? About
yeah, I mean, he's called the middays for years, and he has said this for years. And quite frankly, I pushed back pretty aggressively for a while. I thought he was a little bit unfair to Tom Thibodeau. I don't think he's unfair anymore. I share the same opinion. Yeah, I don't think he's a championship coach.
See, to me, he hasn't been a championship coach yet. All right, BT and Sal on The Fan. They have a call of the day. A couple things, BT. Just to give an update, no score in the Met game or Yankee game, right? Here's the problem with the Yanks. It's the same old stuff. Dude, you know they have 7 strikeouts already through 3 innings?
I did not know that. Again, I'm taping this. I'm going to jump in when I get home. Yeah. But I know they had a ton of... Remember, even the 30 games combined against the Diamondbacks in those 2 games and their situational hitting.
3 innings, 7 strikeouts. And we're flipping back and forth. So we had the Mets on, now we have the Yankees on. At least Fried looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, he does look good.
He's got 4 Ks through 2 innings, just allowed 1 hit. The Yanks had, in the second inning, Goldschmidt, who's been on fire. He led off with a base hit. Jazz walked. Volpe struck out, Dominguez struck out, Escarra walked, and then Cabrera lined up. But 2 big strikeouts from Volpe and Dominguez coming out with 2 guys on, nobody out. That can't happen.
You got to put the bat on the ball. You absolutely have to. I mean, yeah.
And it's been a theme for them.
Well, Sal, that's why when we went back to, was it when he hit his 3rd or his 4th? I think it was his 4th home run. Yeah. Didn't Volpe have 4 home runs before he had another single hit? Like, his first 4 hits home runs, and then he hit a double or a bloop single. Either way. I remember saying I'd rather have 4 singles or 4 doubles than 4 home runs, because for him that's a little misleading, and that's why I don't enjoy seeing home runs, but I don't get fooled by home runs from certain guys. Volpe at this stage hitting home runs to me does not necessarily portend good things when you got to put the bat on the ball and hit a rocket the other way and keep the train moving. And here we are, 1st and 2nd, nobody out. Then he strikes out.
Yeah, those are. And now, look, Flaherty's okay. I thought the Yanks would get fat off of Flaherty. He's not Schoolball. He's not Gallen. I mean, he's a good pitcher, but he could be had. Again, I know it's cold. It's early in the season, but you get the first 2 guys on. You got to just put the bat on the ball here.
I don't want to hear about it being cold. It was 7 cold for the Tigers. They scored 5 runs yesterday. It's cold for them.
7 strikeouts. 3 innings already for this offense.
That's embarrassing. That's a high number.
And the one thing that I noticed so far for the Mets game, 2 things. McGill got out of a bases-loaded jam in the 1st inning.
You
okay,
can't
congrats.
Stand McGill. You are not a
he
McGill
drives
guy
me nuts.
At all.
No, I'm not. Oh, he's been good this year. I just don't trust him. I need to see consistency from McGill.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Soto popped out in his first at bat. I mean, I want to see. I'd like to see him get on the board at Citi Field, hitting a home run as a member of the Mets, as opposed to the 35 that he's hit against the Mets at Citi Field forever. So I'm just anxious. I'm awaiting. The team is playing great. I love it. Not worried about the pitching. Alonso's off to the best start possible. Lindor, and I do think having the support of the fans early in the season has been a big difference maker for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a much better April than he's had before. Soto, even at his worst, he's still getting on base, but I want to see that Soto explosion soon.
And you will. I don't think I never thought he was going to hit 40 home runs this year. I don't think that's really his thing necessarily. He's going to hit, I would think low 30s. By the way, he's hitting 308. By the way, his OPS is 925.
Yeah.
The thing, I remember saying this to Sal during one of the breaks here, if I could just pop it up to make sure I'm accurate. Of course, it's crazy early. We all know Pete's been phenomenal. But you know, Pete Alonso right now is only on pace for 77 strikeouts?
Yeah.
77?
Yeah. It's a huge deal.
It's phenomenal. And a lot of contact.
We looked at the numbers the other day as a team. The Mets were one of the teams that struck out the fewest in Major League Baseball. I think they were fourth at the time, where the Yankees had one of the teams that strike out the most. Now, the power numbers can't even compare where the Yankees are home run-wise versus where the Mets are. But still, there's something to it, BT. Pitching well and putting the ball in play as an offense, and the Mets have put themselves in a good spot to win some games, and they've won the majority of their games so far.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.